There is power in your name. 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 What a Savior. Amen. Wrong light. Dave, Marcia, would you mind coming up here? Dave and I think Marcia were pretty much here from the beginning, weren't you? Knowing Tamalyn? Ripping wallpaper off. Before we get going in Bible study, I just want to just have them share something, but to pray. You know, we're all going through a variety of trials and tribulations and challenges, and sometimes we don't understand what the Lord is doing, but we know He's in control. He is sovereign, and whatever happens comes our way, if it's something that we did wrong, Lord, forgive us. If not, Lord, give me the grace to manage through it. Help me to know that you are sovereign over my life. And so, would you maybe take a few minutes and share, and we can pray for you afterwards.
We've been going through a lot of struggles. My mom died in June. We inherited my brother, who's 11 months younger than me, and he's not a believer. He was living with mom for 10 years, and he was on house arrest at the time that she died because he got another DUI. And he did his month in jail. Mom died. He wasn't going to be able to live there by himself because he needed supervision. So, against advice from family, we took him into our home. He's been paying off his court fees and all that stuff. He's finally got those paid off, and he's off of probation. In the meantime, Dave retired. I quit my job with the school district because I was looking for better money at the nursing home, which was absolutely horrible. So I was working night shift. I couldn't sleep in the daytime. I couldn't sleep in the nighttime. I was just walking around delirious. I got a job with an agency right before Christmas they hired me on, and I filled a good hole for them. I'm going to be working 8-hour shifts and 16-hour shifts every weekend, so I'll get my 40 hours in 3 days, but the family I was working for went on vacation for the whole month of January, so I haven't worked. Dave's not working. My brother's working, but he only makes enough to pay his child support and finishing up with his court fees. Don't ever get a DUI, you guys. It cost him plenty. Mom's house is on the market for sale, but we haven't had any prospects with that. The duplex that she owned that we were living in just sold, and Mom was so far in debt she had nothing. We've been living at the duplex now. Closing was day before yesterday, and yesterday we got served with a sort of eviction notice that we have till the end of the February to get out at the current rent that we're paying. The rent with the new owner is going to go up almost double of what we're paying. We're planning on moving to Buffalo soon, but we're sinking fast. We've been trying to have yard sales, and last weekend we made a whole $10. We're just at the bottom of the pit, and I think that's where God wants us, so that we look up. We've been going to church elsewhere for the past few months because Dave's been working a Sunday here and a Sunday there, and where is he? Where's Darren?
Pastor Darren's outside, I think.
Okay. Church starts a little too late here, and then Darren can be long-winded sometimes, and we wouldn't be able to get back to town for Dave to be able to go to work when he does on Sundays. We're going to try and move to Buffalo, hopefully the end of March. But everything's just come crashing down over the past 8 months or so. So just keep us in your prayers. And
if anybody needs your sales stuff, come to our house tomorrow.
Saturday.
Gentlemen, I have plenty of tools to sell, so You're all there.
I will be there.
We're looking forward to your prayers and everything that you all mean to us. And I know we've been kind of shortcoming here. Like Marcia says, I work Sundays, and I had to start at 12 o'clock, so I wouldn't be able to make it back in time. So we've been getting fed closer to home, so I can make it, but We called Darren, and I know myself, and Marcia knows me, it's like I'm the type of person that cannot ask for help from anybody. If I can't do it with God's help and myself, it can't be done. I am too. What's that?
My father and his wife, my brother and his wife, and my niece, and my extended family. I moved here in 1979 to run away from chaos. And I moved here, then my grandparents moved down, then Grandma and Grandpa got sick, and Mom wound up here with her ex-husband, and then they divorced. She didn't want to go back because nobody would love her anymore. They'd love my father more, and so she just recently died, and I've been like, I'm hoping so. I'm working for an agency that has an office in Buffalo, so I'll be able to transfer my job. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I think the Lord led me to a verse to encourage you as we pray, and I'll just pray this and trust God. Psalm 37, David says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall come be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." And this is the part I love, Lord. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." I'm going to repeat that again. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust always in him and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it forth upon forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. Rest, I'm going to say it again, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of them who prosper in his way, because of the men who bring wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm. Lord, I just pray for my dear brother and sister, Marcia and Dave. And Father, we want your will to be done in their lives. So many times, Lord, we try to figure out what it is that we ought to do. But Lord, we need to learn to rest, to trust, to commit, to surrender to you. And so we ask, Lord, that you will provide. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. You are the God that sees their needs more than we do, or more than they realize what they need. And I would ask in the name of Jesus that you would minister, that you will direct them, that if it is to Buffalo, Lord, then it'll be your will, and then you work out every detail. If it's not, Lord, I pray that they will have the wisdom and the discernment to know where it is you want them to be planted. And so, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus, where there's life and healing, where there's power in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in these coming days, Lord. Provide the resources, provide the direction and wisdom of what to do. And so, Lord, help us not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways that we acknowledge you. And you said you will direct our paths, our steps. And so, Lord, we commit them to you. They're your children. They're our brothers and sisters. And we come and bring them before you, before the throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Let us turn to Hosea chapter 4. This is a tough book for me because it's not a book of nice things and people being faithful and people being surrendered to the Lord. It's with a group of people that have been stiff-necked and rebellious. And the result in verse 6 says, "For my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge," or maybe even better, for a lack of acknowledgement of who he is and what he has done in our life. And so because they have rejected the knowledge, I also will reject you as my priest, because you have ignored the Lord, this New York accent, the law of our God, and I also will ignore your children. And so we see in verse 7, the Lord said, "The more priests they were, the more they have sinned against me. They exchanged their glorious God for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish in their wickedness." And so we see the sinful, and God is bringing judgment. He has bringing charges against them. It's before the court of God, before the court of heaven. And we see in the beginning of the chapter how God had brought 5 of the 10 commandments right before them, that they're guilty. You know, so, and we talked about last week or last time about judgment. How should we judge today? Should we judge inside the body or not? And so we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about someone who was sexually immoral. And God had instructed him in a previous letter to have nothing to do. And he brought some correction because he didn't want that church, a young church of a couple of years, to be permeated with sin, the corruption. He says, cast out the leaven. And we know that leaven is something that corrupts, it permeates through the whole loaf of bread. A little bit of leaven will make it rise and corrupt everything. And God wanted this church, who was really had some issues, and he was bringing correction. And so we talked about not to judge outside the world. God will do that. That we are to judge righteously inside for those who claim to be a Christian. So, but we see here that God is bringing judgment against his people, Israel, the northern 10 tribes. So, can I get a volunteer to read verses 9 through 13 for me? Go ahead, Pat. Oh, hold on. We got to get this thing working. Thank you. Bless you.
And it will be like people, like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase. Because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them. For a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from their God. They offer sacrifices on the tops of the mountains, and burn incense on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is pleasant. Therefore your daughters play the harlot, and your brides commit adultery.
So we see here in verse 9, God is saying, hey, the way of the people, just like the priest. And now we know that in Timothy, that we know in the last days, there will be people heaping up teachers. They have itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. So they'll go around looking for pastors, looking for teachers that will agree with them. And that's why I'm very blessed, and I know Mark can testify that we come here because we'll get the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. And so we cannot hang on one doctrine and over here, and all of a sudden we see Scripture over here, and it begins to disagree. And so God will never commit where he says one thing and then contradict another. So we get the whole counsel of God. And Paul was warning the people, actually the elders of Ephesus, that there will be teachers amongst you will come trying to just tear the flock apart outside, and also there will be some coming up within trying to cause division and pull them away. And so we know that in these days, we have a lot of good, sound teachers out there. But we also have a lot of bad ones. Do we discern? Is the people like the priest? And God said, I'm going to bring destruction or correction on both of them. And so, what about verse 10 here? It says, they will eat, but not have enough. They will engage in prostitution, but not flourish. Because they have deserted the law to give themselves to prostitution. Old wine, new wine, take away their understanding. You know, back in Leviticus 26:26, it says, I will destroy your food supplies. For they had 10 women will only need one oven to bake the bread for their families. They will ration your food by weight. And though you have food to eat, you will not be satisfied. Malachi 6:14 says, you will eat but not have enough. You hunger, have hunger pains and empty. You remain. And though you try to save your money, it will come to nothing in the end. You will have a little, but I will give it to those who corrupt you. But what God is trying to communicate through the prophet Hosea was that they were going away from the Lord. And so if we know its historical background, we know that it was God separated the nation into two areas, the north and the south. And as Pastor Darren is going through Kings, he is talking about how because of Solomon and his sin and having how many wives, Elijah? Yeah. And how many concubines, Joe? 300. And so God, I'm having trouble learning about my one. But we know that all these wives, and what had happened was that Solomon's heart was being pulled away because he was building temples and high places to these wives' gods. And so because of Solomon's sin, God split the kingdom, and 10 tribes went north over Jeroboam, and 2 tribes went to Solomon's son, Rehoboam. And so here's this clash. And so, but it talks about these priests. What kind of priest did God ordain his people and where to worship? What's that? Levites. Well, let's look at what Chronicles says. 2 Chronicles 11:13 through 16 says, the priests and Levites who lived throughout the land, Israel, supported them, no matter where they resided. The Levites even left their pasture lands and their properties behind and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons forbidden them for worshiping the Lord's priest. Jeroboam appointed his own priest to serve at the worship center and to lead in the worship of the calf idols and calf idolaters he had made. Those among all the Israelites' tribes who were determined to worship the Lord their God of Israel followed them to Jerusalem to sacrifice to their Lord of their God of their ancestors. So what we had during the time of King Asa, I think Pastor Darren shared last week or a couple weeks ago, how there was a great revival. Asa was a good king. He reigned a long time, I think 41 years or 40 years. And in the beginning of his reign, he worshiped God. And what happened was he had this huge million army men coming against him with chariots. And they would be like tanks today. And all they had was bow and arrows and spears. And so Asa humbled himself before God. And God brought victory, that power in that name. And God brought healing to the land. And over a process of time, what had happened was God was bringing a great revival. And what had happened was Jeroboam had set up this town because these people were coming back into Jerusalem. And he fortified a city, hindering the people to going back to worship. So he determined, I'm going to build two places in Dan And I think it's Bethel to worship at these golden calf. And this is the God that delivered us. And so he set up this idol worship. But yet there were people, the priests. You got to realize that the priests and the Levites didn't inherit the land. There was 12 tribes and all the land was divided with the 11. But the Levites, they were the spiritual leaders. And so what God had done, since they didn't have a portion of the land, they would be scattered throughout the whole land. They had like 48 different cities throughout the land of Israel. But then they also had six areas, what they called refuge. And so throughout the land, but these priests, these Levites that were up in the northern, they wanted to worship the one true God. And so what had happened was they were coming back and he wanted to stop them because God was bringing a revival and he didn't want the people to be faithful to Judah and to Benjamin and to worship in the place where God had placed his name forever. Go ahead, Pat.
Hello?
Okay. Hello.
All right. I see a pattern, like, every time, you know, you're talking about them not being fulfilled, and, you know, it's because they weren't, you know, they rebelled against the Lord. And then all the scripture that you quoted has all that in common. In Haggai chapter 1, I was looking it up. I remembered it from probably a year ago when I was studying it. Is that on your list? Because it says that they'll be, you know, the same thing, that they'll eat and not be filled, and, you know, several other analogies like that. But when they turn to the Lord and they stop worrying so much about themselves and about their own house and look to rebuild the Lord's house, then they're restored. And I kind of think that's not about houses and riches, because they already had that and they weren't fulfilled, but they didn't have the Lord. But when they turned toward him and then they turned their hearts toward him, look what they got. Something that they couldn't measure. And all of that you, you know, you just see at work there, spiritual battles, right? You see it interwoven through there, even in the scripture that you, you know, that we read, it says, you know, in chapter 12, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray. You know, it's a spiritual world. It's a battle that's ever present and always going on.
And I want to bring in Haggai because he stole my notes. He probably read them. Let's look to what the prophet was saying.
I had the opportunity, but I didn't do it. Okay, I'm giving up.
Let's get the background of that story, because we missed so much. There's so much nuggets and gold there. And this here is about the southern tribe of Judah. God had declared through Jeremiah that there will be 70 years that you're going to go in captivity for disobedience, for the same things, actually worse. They actually became worse than the northern tribe. And so the northern tribe went into captivity in 722 A.D., to the Assyrians. But in Haggai's time, it was when Babylon came in 605 BC, he took Daniel and a remnant, and there was three waves of captivities taken to Babylon, and they were there 70 years, and a temple was destroyed in 586 BC. But then God had promised, after 70 years, I will bring you back. And so Haggai, and so when God makes a promise, do you think it will happen? And it did. And so God, through Jeremiah, he said it's coming back. And what had happened, King Cyrus took over, beat the Babylonians and took, because God had promised that he would raise up someone 200 years before Cyrus was born. He would name the individual that would set his people free to go back. And so what had happened was they come back in the land and some 50,000, only 50,000 people went back with Zerubbabel. And so what had happened was they had started and built the foundation. But there's opposition. Do you ever get opposition? Christ is our foundation. How much opposition you get in trying to build on that? Can you give me a testimony, Mark, of how people, the enemy, comes against you for sharing the foundation, the salvation of our rock?
Well, I don't know of a current time that has been in recent memory, but I know that over the period of years that the world will say, you're a fool. Why do you believe in this? And we have to have a reason for the faith that we have. And what I have found throughout my entire life is that when I am counting on the Lord, He will never let me down. He never has and never will. I may not understand the way that it happens, but His ways are always better than mine. And what ends up happening is that people will see that when they face things their way, and when Debbie and I face them a different way, and we get a different result than they get, that's when there's an opportunity to witness about Jesus Christ. It's not about not having trials and tribulations. It's about how do we respond to those trials and tribulations, because that's where the fruit of the Spirit can be shown, and then people want to know. They don't know. They don't want to hear a thing that you have to say. They just want to see what you do. And when they see that, then they'll ask what makes you different, and that's the only opportunity that we'll have to witness for Him.
That's right. That's why we always got to be in season, ready, and out of season. And in the context, through Timothy, he says, preach the word. We've got to be out there preaching the word. So this opposition came, and years had gone by. And let me just read from the prophet Haggai. Starting in verse 2, the Lord, who rules over all, says this: these people have said the time to rebuild the Lord's temple has not yet come. So they say, oh, the Lord doesn't, I got opposition, I got this. Oh, God doesn't want me to work on His spiritual house. Now, that was a literal temple. What do we say? Now, what about us here? Do we worship? Is he talking about this building, so to speak, in the New Testament time? It's nice to have a nice building. It's nice to have air conditioning, even lights. But what about the first century? They didn't have all this. They were actually being persecuted for their faith in the way. They were meeting in catacombs or wherever they can meet to worship. So it's not a physical building for us. It's right here. The Holy Spirit lives it. That is what it actually translates is the Holy of Holies, the naos. The very presence of God lives and dwells in you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, we say, no, I got to build my 401k and have my second house for vacations and investing in that and not take the time in maybe studying, getting along with another brother or sister. Hey, I need to grow. I need help in understanding. how to overcome things in my life. I want to be an overcomer. That power that created what we see out there has enough power to give you the freedom for those chains that may be bonding. But are you investing in your physical house more than God's spiritual house? I'm challenging these high schools every day. When I teach in Book of Daniel. Time's short. Are you building? Are you aware of what's happening? Are you telling people about Jesus? Are you living, like Mark says, are living that life so that when tough times comes or illness comes, you're not, oh, Lord, what am I? No, you're just still praising the Lord because he's given you power and grace that absent from this body, I'm going to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the witness that when you go through trials and tribulations, you're different. And they say, I want what you have. And what is it? That song, I Surrender All. It's a surrendered life to build the house, this one. And then, not just yourself, we're to make disciples. And what is a disciple? To help someone follow Jesus. It comes down to that. You don't need a whole lot of counseling. You need to follow Jesus and whatever it may be. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be pornography. It may be eating too much, shopping too much, whatever. We need one another to help us to be overcome, to build this spiritual house. Is it right for you to live in rich panel houses while my temple is in ruins? Here then is what the Lord who rules over all said. I like that. Is he ruling in your life? Is he ruling in your life? He is our Lord. You have to ask yourself, what areas in my life that he doesn't have dominion over? Ruling and reigning. I like this. Think carefully about what you're doing. The King James or the New King James says, consider your ways. He's saying, consider your ways. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but you're never filled. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothing, but they are not warm. And here's the biggie. Those who earn wages end up with holes in their money bags. We can work all our lives. I have a sister-in-law who worked, and brother-in-law who worked all 45 years, both careers. And I think it was Enron a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Almost all of it was wiped out. Now, am I saying it's bad to plan to have a future? No. But the Lord giveth, the Lord could take it away. But are we saying still, blessed be the Lord? Maybe because people put the money in and all of a sudden I got nothing is because maybe we're building our kingdom rather than what God wants us to build his kingdom on earth. He's saying consider your ways or think carefully about what you're doing. Think carefully of what we're doing. So what we see here, it was God. Because they were rebellious, because they refused to worship God the way he ordained it to be, they began to drink. Is alcohol bad? Let me tell you what Proverbs 20, verse 1 says. Wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those who led astray by drink cannot be wise. Isaiah 28:7 says, "Now, however, Israel is led by drunks who reel their wine and stagger with alcohol. The priests and the prophets stagger with alcohol and lose themselves in wine. They reel when they see visions and stagger as they render decisions." And Jesus said in Luke 21:34, "Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware." Alcohol. One of the strongholds that in my life was alcohol. And I can say because of that, by the grace of God, I don't know how I did not kill somebody or get stopped and get a DUI. By the grace of God, I don't know why. But because of that, it led me down different avenues of depravity. And I can say, easy, a couple $100,000 was lost, well, drank away because of it. Now, do we have freedom in Christ? Yeah. God doesn't forbid. He said, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the intoxication I want. Overflowing of God's Spirit in my life. That I won't be just going back and forth and losing days, but I will be jumping for joy and being able to have victory over it. So it's a stronghold that I had, alcohol. And when I was in the rehab center in 1986 for drugs and alcohol, they were antidepressants, and I was mixing them together. And you talk about a staggering and a forgetful. And I would do things. It was like a Jekyll and Hyde. Now, I had two personalities, if you know that story. I would be one way, and as soon as I had those antidepressants and take alcohol, I would be totally someone else. But then I met Jesus. And not only did he set me free and heal me and broke those chains of fear and worry and anxiety, I also, as I began to grow in God's word, all of a sudden, the desire was gone. I didn't have. It didn't control my life anymore. I was controlled by God's Spirit. So God instantly healed me, but he also, as I began to grow in grace and knowledge of him, he'd set me free. Now, I could be back into bondage tomorrow if I choose. What do you want? What kind of life do you want? Are you building God's house? That's the road to freedom. A surrendered, not a committed life, a surrendered life. And this all was because no knowledge of God in the land. They were being destroyed. Mark, would you do me a favor? Would you read Amos 8, verse 11? Amos, verse 11. This is where I think we are in our culture, in our time now, today. And I wanted you to listen to the words that God says to the prophet Amos. 8:11. You have that New American Standard? Yeah.
"Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but rather for hearing the word of the Lord."
Who was sending that famine, Mark? Oh. There is a lack of hungering for God's word today. Not a bread and water. Are we hungering? Are you hungering and wanting to devour God's word?
I think we're, as a culture, there is a hunger and there is a starvation, and they're looking for everything except the Lord. And the reason that they're not seeking the Lord is because the church is not doing what it's supposed to do and allowing the power of God to live through them. Too many times churches say, well, we have to make ourselves relevant to the culture, as opposed to allowing the Word of God to rule in their hearts and people seeing that and wanting what they don't have. That would be every church.
Cross denominations.
It's trans denomination. You know, it would be any church that you pick. I would have to say 90% of the churches that are out there today aren't teaching the Word of God, and that's why they're not growing. Why people are looking at so-called Christians and saying, why would I want to be like him? Why would I want to be like her? They're no different from me. People are looking for life.
Real life.
Real life. And that's what God offers. But the church doesn't teach that. They want to be relevant to the culture as opposed to the culture seeing the life of God in the church.
God says for us to be separate. He wants us to be distinct. And one of the problems with these 10 tribes, when they were consulting, the people consulted wooden idols and the diviner's rod speaking to them. I brought this here. It's like, Lord, I need something. Help me. What power does this have? Does it have eyes? Does it have flesh and blood? But people were looking for the answers in silly things like this. And they would put little carvings. I know Miss Gloria, she was raised a Roman Catholic. She used to have her little May altar and all the candles and all, and sit and pray before it. No, we have the living God in us. And we can just say, Lord, you know, when it says pray without ceasing, it's an ever-present awareness of God's presence in your life as you're going through. Hey, Lord, what should I do? Oh, thank you for that parking lot. Lord, I don't have to walk. Lord, you met this person is crossing my path. Do you want me to share with him? It's that constant awareness. It's like breathing. Do you have to be mindful of breathing? See, it's the pressure from this atmosphere that causes our lungs to collapse. We have to, do we have to work at breathing? No. And I think it's the pressures of this world that should make us before God constantly. Lord, help me. It's a natural. We don't have to think about breathing. We just breathe. It's a natural response God built in us. And that's the thing, same thing spiritually. It should be natural. When pressures come, that's the first thing we should do and not the last. David. Yeah. So they were had their little altars and they set it up on different mountains. It was the cool, and that was the norm of the day. And people are worshiping on their fishing boats and on their camping and their trips, and they don't have time I'm talking about Christians now. I'm not talking about non-believers. They're more interested in their Sunday worship at a football game. I watch a program, 412 Church in California at night, and he had shared one of my favorite teachers named Dr. David Hawkins. And he was sharing that here was the Pro Bowl, and there was a group of people who were more concerned about God's word than that stupid Pro Bowl. Are we more interested in being around when these doors are open to hear, to fellowship? When we have a brother or sister in trouble, we pray for them and constantly be aware of their need. A wedding coming up. Be praying that God's presence would be ruling and reigning in their lives. That we need each other. I remember my brother-in-law who says, Jesus was my crutch. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. He's never let me fall yet. And I want to lean on him all the time. Without him, I will be down in the dirt, back into drinking and worrying and panicking. But he's never let me down, not once. Amen? That's what we need. And you know what? When persecution comes our way, it happened with my dad. When I got out of that drug rehab and alcohol, I never went to one AA or NA meeting. What I did was go to Jesus. And when I told that to my dad, he cursed me and had four-letter words for God that I couldn't repeat here. Why? Because I was trusting in Jesus. Now, did I stumble? Yeah, we all do. But a righteous man gets up and continues on. We'll all stumble, but we'll continue walking with him. Never stay in neutral. Because if we're neutral, we're going backwards. He always wants us to be moving ahead.
But you know, Tom, we all have a choice.
That's right.
You know, we're in the book of Colossians on Sunday. In Colossians 3, starting at verse 15, it says, and let the things to allow. We have a choice. Are we going to allow it to happen or not? The peace of Christ rules in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Again, an opportunity, a choice to allow the living word of God, the word of Christ, to richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. But it's a choice, it's an attitude of allowing him to live his life in and through us. It is where I've always gotten into trouble is when I try to do it myself in my own effort. If I try to live a life that's pleasing to God, it will not ever work. Mm. Because no one can live the life of Christ except Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what he calls us to do. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm. It is not you working hard so that Christ can, you know, you can show the light of Christ in you. No. It's him in you, living through you, as you, and in many cases with me, it's in spite of me. Mm-hmm. Because I get in the way.
Final verse I want to bring about these idolatrous things in wooden images. Jeremiah 2:27 says, you say to the wooden idol, you are my father. You say to the stone image, you gave birth to me. Yes, you have turned away from me instead of turning to me. Yet, when they are in trouble, They say, save me, help. What is the thing you are? One of the things, and I may step on some toes here, I think the biggest idol we may have today is resources, godly men and women, rather than the Word of God. There's some good writing books out there, but I will not give credit to any human author. That could be my idol. It could be my David Gusick or Chuck Smith. They were my idol. I was looking more to them for instruction than I did the Holy Spirit and His Word. That could be my idol. It could be some people's idol is translations, and they'll fight and they'll go to the hill and die on it. That could be an idol. They worship a translation, not God. So there's some things out there spiritually we could be worshiping. Don't divide over it. Be thankful, but our God, it's not, oh, Dr. David Jeremiah, what? My life is totally changed. No, you just put Him above God and His Word. Be careful. There are great men and women out there, but you should never even be on the same plateau as God. So our idols could be just as silly as these. Father, we thank You. Help us in these days, Lord, to be mindful. In 1 Chronicles, it talked about the sons of Issachar were mindful of the times. And Lord, they knew. One tribe was mindful of what to do with David. I pray, Lord, as Your children here at Home Fellowship Church, that we would be mindful of our time. Things that are happening around us. Lord, that we would be thoroughly equipped with the knowledge of You. We are to grow in the grace because You want good works to come from us. You want us to go out and minister and to serve in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need Your power. People are in chains. They're in bondage. But really, they're free. They just got to appropriate what Christ has already done in their life. People didn't go into the promised land because they did not believe Caleb and Joshua. That those real giants were real. But they recognized that our God will defeat their grasshoppers to Him. Lord, everything. We need to be like David, not running from the giants, but running to Him with the rock of our salvation. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that we will stand strong and we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And all God's children said, Amen.